Okay, there we go. Let's open our Bibles tonight. We're going to go to the book of Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. All right. And I say again, if you're not aware of this, if I haven't said it before, I probably have, but you ought to read a chapter of the Proverbs every day. There's 31 chapters. There's not 31 days in every month, but on the days that don't have 31, you just double up. Okay. So today, Proverbs chapter 2, you should have read, because today's December the 2nd. Okay. So if you read what I already read and what I'm going to preach on tonight, you already read it. It's just going to be a refresher. Let's all stand together. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. God's interested in us being preserved and kept.
Amen.
God's not interested in his children being destroyed. Amen. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None. Mark it down, young men. None that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Not a whole lot of gray area there. I want to preach to you from chapter 10, the first verse we read. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. When wisdom comes in. Let's pray. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the day. Lord, thank you for providing so richly for us all. God, giving us everything we need in abundance. I pray tonight you would please show yourself. Lord, manifest your glory, your power here in thy sanctuary as we've seen it before. We need it again, God. We certainly can't do without it. We don't want to be here just to be here, God. We pray you would please honor us tonight with your presence, your power, your still small voice speaking to every one of us, God. Fill me with your spirit. Fill this place, God, with a liberty. And for Jesus to speak, for your Holy Spirit to work, God, for your word to do the work it needs to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. When wisdom comes in, every person in this world is a product of what is in them. What is in them. All that's in you today, at one point in your life, now listen, had to come in from somewhere. Yeah. Everything that's in you, and I'm not talking about the food that you ate for supper. I'm talking about the personality, the thoughts, the spiritual things tonight. In other words, whatever is in me defines me. It's who I am. If I'm full of anger, you're going to know me as an angry man. If I'm full of love, you'll know me as a loving man. If I'm full of compassion, you understand the point. If I'm full of myself, you got it. I'll be known as a selfish man. Whatever's in us defines who we are. At different points in my life, from various sources, that which is around me will enter into me some way or another. When it enters, now listen, when it enters into me, it is going to affect me somehow. And I'm not going to preach on cause and effect necessarily, again, but everything that enters in me through my eyes, my ears primarily, is going to make me who I am. It's going to define me. Ladies, you know what the words, the letters B-O-G-O stand for? Buy one, get one. You know, seen those all over? I've seen those. I don't get excited about that. Maybe you do. But there's some other letters. Not B-O-G-O, but how about G-I-G-O? Not G.I. Joe, but G.I.G.O. Garbage in and garbage out.
That's right.
Yeah. Garbage in, garbage out.
Yep.
And you can also say wiggo. Wisdom in, godliness out.
Amen.
Wisdom in, grace out.
Yep.
Wisdom in, glory out.
Amen.
Wisdom in. Look in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7.
Right. Yep.
Wisdom is the principal thing. That means the most important, the first thing you should go after, the most vital, essential thing, wisdom. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get understanding. You say, preacher, I thought salvation was... Well, obviously, the Bible can't contradict itself. So let's just put our heads together and think about this. If wisdom is the principal thing, salvation is the most important thing, then the wisest thing you could ever do is be born again.
Yeah, man. That's right.
See how that works? Wisdom, and from that point on, I believe all of us are saved as far as I know tonight. From that point on, God says wisdom is still the principal thing.
Amen.
Wisdom is still the most important, vital, essential thing. So there's several benefits. Turn back to chapter 2. I'm just going to go through these quickly because this is really not the message, but I'm going to mention these. Several benefits to having a heart full of wisdom. Several benefits listed. And let me back up a minute here and say this before I lose anybody. Wisdom is simply thinking like God thinks.
Amen.
Okay, you can't really sum it up any easier than that. Thinking like God thinks. You respond to things the way God does. You see things the way God sees them. Thinking like God thinks. Wisdom, when your heart is full, when you begin to see things like God sees them and think like God thinks, when you have wisdom in you, when it entereth in, look in verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. First of all, the first benefit is you'll have godly delights. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Knowledge. Now stop right here for a minute. I don't have time to preach on all of these, but knowledge is not always just having fun. I know kids are going to be kids, but when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Amen.
That's wisdom. That's Bible.
Amen.
Knowledge is reading. Knowledge is studying. Knowledge is learning. You ought never stop learning,
Amen.
Adults.
Right. Amen.
Never. Don't ever say, well, I'm out of school now, I wash my hands. That's not wisdom.
Amen.
That's not wisdom. You can always learn something new every day.
Amen.
You should all, listen, don't be afraid of reading good, godly books. Not everything on the shelf. But there are a lot of good reading, well, not as much as there used to be. You have to dig deep almost. But you should not be afraid to read. Listen, if you don't want to read, then ask yourself this, why not?
Amen.
What are you doing instead? Knowledge will be delightful when wisdom enters in.
Yeah.
See, knowledge is you knowing more. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study. You know that the NIV takes that word completely out, study, in that verse? That's just a tidbit of information there. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing it. You know, you can wrongly divide this thing and make a complete fool of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And you can really hurt other people too when you do that.
That's right.
You can join another cult, or you can just start your own. But you're supposed to study and rightly divide it. Knowledge will be delightful, godly delightful. It's a godly delight. Knowledge says it's pleasant unto thy soul when wisdom enters in.
Amen.
Ask yourself, do I thirst for knowledge? Chris, I got those tests tomorrow. I got this. You know what that's for, buddy? That's for more knowledge.
Amen.
It's not your enemy. So knowledge is godly. And according to my Bible, listen, when wisdom enters in, I then have godly delights. I delight in things like knowledge. I also have greater discretion in verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee. Greater discretion. Preserve thee. You know, when you buy foods nowadays, they have preservatives all over them. Chemicals, supposedly. You know what that's for? To keep them from rotting. When wisdom enters in, discretion preserves Christians and keeps them from rotting.
Amen.
Have you ever met any rotten Christians? Or should I say any rotten Christians? They are just absolutely soured. Kind of smell like the vinegar in that pickle jar. They are rotten. By the way, that's all a pickle is a soured cucumber. That's why it smells like that. Preserve thee. God doesn't want us to be rotten and sour like we've been sucking on a lemon all day. Amen.
Come on. Amen.
See, when wisdom enters in, you'll have godly delights. You'll delight in things that are godly. You'll have greater discretion to keep thee from rotting. You'll have a guardian defender in verse 11. Understanding shall keep thee. That word keep thee, I've told you this before, is a military term. Guard thee, like guarding a fort, like standing guard at the front gate of a barrack somewhere. It's understanding the difference. It's discretion. Now, knowledge and discretion and understanding are all very, very similar, but they're all working together. They're all a part of wisdom. When I have wisdom, wisdom is the principal thing. Because why? Because when I get wisdom, I get understanding. Yep. Discretion comes with it. Right. Knowledge comes with it. Wisdom is the principal thing. When wisdom comes in, I have a guardian, defender that's keeping me. It is my understanding. I begin to understand things that are good, things that are bad. When I have wisdom entering in, I have also, now this is, I'm going to get into a little more depth here, but glorious deliverance. Deliverance from, first of all, the evil man. Hey, look up here now. This is not just written to women. There are all kinds of evil men out there that will destroy other men too. It's not just about a boy-girl relationship here. Neither one of these are the evil man or the strange woman. Listen, glorious deliverance from the evil man. Look in verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. From the man, how am I going to pick out a man that's evil? Okay, God's going to describe him for you. That's what wisdom is all about. God giving you wisdom through His Word so you can tell this man's good or this man's evil. First thing it says is he has a froward mouth. He has a filthy mouth.
Right.
You know, folks, I love you to death and you know that. But when you get saved, God wants that mouth to clean up.
Amen.
Wisdom will keep you from the evil man and his foul mouth. If you're running with somebody who can't seem to control their language,
come on.
The Bible begins to tell you that he's not a good man.
Yeah, man.
He's an evil man.
Yep.
Because what's in here is coming out here.
Yep.
Wisdom will deliver you from the evil man who has a foul mouth. God describes to us this man in detail for a reason. Okay? So you know who to stay away from. And wisdom will deliver you. Foolishness will keep you just hanging out with him. Okay? Fallen, verse 13. He's not only got a foul mouth, verse 13, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Now wait a minute. Look at that verse again. Don't just blow through that. Who leave the paths of uprightness. That means at one time he was in the right path.
That's right. Come on.
To walk in the ways of darkness on purpose.
Yep.
This is not a person who trips and falls.
Yeah, man.
This is a person who has fallen from God's sustaining grace and is now back in the ways of darkness.
Yep.
You need to be real careful. We love them when they leave, But you got to be real careful. Old friends that maybe used to know in church, and now they're going back into the world. Now they're going back into their darkness. They're not for you to hang around.
Amen.
Wisdom. Wisdom. This is to deliver you, to keep you, to guard you. This is not to say, well, I just don't understand. I was just trying to, no, listen, just pay attention to the Word of God. I'm not preaching on all these. I just want you to see that this man, this evil man, has at one time, in other words, he knows what to say.
Amen.
He knows he might even be able to tell you verse after verse. You know how many people I talk to on the streets, they're quoting Bible to me with a six-pack in their hand. Now, listen, that doesn't impress me.
Amen. That's right.
But they think that they're wonderfully all right with God.
Yep.
But their lives, their way, their walk in darkness proves otherwise.
Amen.
Wisdom is not to believe what that comes out of their mouth. Even if it's not foul at the time, I guarantee you it will be later when you're not around.
Yep.
It doesn't matter how they speak. How are they walking? Well, it says they walk in the ways of darkness. Now, I'm telling you, Satan has his ways. He's going to use somebody who used his, and I'm just hurrying, but I don't have time. Look at the next verse, 14. This evil man has a foul mouth. This evil man has fallen from sustaining grace. In other words, he knows what to say. He knows how to act when it's time to act that way. Are you listening to me?
Yep.
He'll fool you if you don't have wisdom.
Yep.
Notice verse 14. This is going to get you. He's foolishly entertained. Look up here now. Verse 14 says, "Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked?" He's entertained by evil and by wickedness. He delights in their frowardness. This one, he laughs at their filth. He even pays money to watch those movies.
Come on.
Folks, listen to me. That filth is not entertainment.
Amen.
I'm just telling you what wisdom says.
Amen.
If you got to sit there in front of that thing and watch them curse and swear and drink and cuss and run around half naked and fornicate, and is that entertaining to you? No, absolutely not. But it is to the evil man.
Amen.
It is to the evil man. And see, God says, I want to try to deliver you from that evil man.
Amen.
Because he ain't nothing but evil. Why are y'all getting so quiet?
Come on. Amen.
He's foolishly entertained. I used to work with a man. Let me tell you the story. I'm hurrying, but we were talking about hurricanes and how I think he told me his mother, I guess his parents were divorced, so his mother lived somewhere on the coast, in Florida, or I can't remember exactly where. And then somebody else he knew lived down in Corpus on the coast there. And we were talking about hurricanes and how they blow in off the shore and how, you know, you have to evacuate and run for cover. And he said, no. You see, when you live on the coast like that, you just get together with all your friends and have a party. If you're going to die, you might as well die having fun. And that is the absolute most foolish thing I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, ma'am. That's right.
This was not a child. This was a grown man, but he wasn't a very godly man.
Yeah.
He was an evil man. He was entertained by foolishness.
Yep.
Are you listening to me?
Mom.
Entertained by foolishness. That's wisdom is not to get together. Well, anyway, I don't need to hurry. I need to go on. But listen, he's verse 15, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their path. He's froward and crooked. In other words, he's very deceitful, dishonest. He's going to say one thing to your face and he's going to do another behind your back. He's going to say one thing to your face and he's going to stab you as soon as you turn around. Froward means crooked. It means twisted. It means perverse. Okay? It means deceitful and dishonest. This man is described very detailed in this three or four verses. And God says, I want to deliver you from him because he's evil. And wisdom, when wisdom enters in, it is glorious deliverance, first of all, from that evil man.
Amen.
Secondly, his glorious deliverance from that strange woman.
Amen.
Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman. Now, I know some strange women in my life, but this woman here is a strange woman by definition in the Bible. A woman, and primarily, let me put it to you this way. Primarily, this is written to young men to keep you away from anybody who is not your wife or who God has not prepared to be your wife. She is a strange woman. She's not for you. She's somebody else's problem. She's not for you. But listen, this doesn't preclude us, all of us, from understanding that we still should not choose to hang in our hats in their doorsteps and be companions of these evil men and strange women. It says here, what kind of woman is this? Well, first of all, this is a woman who flattereth with her words. She flatters to get what she wants. Now listen to me, folks. That's manipulation. That's deceitful. Wisdom. Now, I'm hoping you're understanding all this. All of these things that are describing this evil man and this strange woman, evil woman, ought to be the farthest things from describing us.
Amen.
Is that plain as Christians? These ought to be the furthest things from describing. Nobody ought to be able to look at your life and say, yeah, well, you're froward and crooked and evil man and entertained by foolishness. We're supposed to be harmless and blameless sons of God without rebuke, shining as lights in this dark world. This is not supposed to describe us.
Amen.
So I shouldn't have even had to say that. I think that was probably self-explanatory. But I do want to say we're not supposed to run with them either. God says wisdom will deliver you from this strange woman who flatters to get what she wants. Listen, that's nothing but a lie. It's a lie.
Amen.
That's manipulation. You don't need to be around people who are constantly trying to tell you what you want to hear so they can get what they want. You've got to be smarter than that. Wisdom. This is also a woman, verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. She has forsaken what she's been taught. You notice these two people have that in common? The evil man has forsaken the path of the upright. The strange woman has forsaken the guide of her youth. They have both rebelled.
Yep.
They are both rebels. They are both rebellious. Look at me. In other words, they both know better.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
They both know they shouldn't be who they are.
Yep. Amen.
She's forsaken the God of her youth. Notice in the next phrase in that verse. This is bad. They've all been bad. But forgetteth the covenant of her God. You know what? She's forgotten she's even saved. So can that be possible? Absolutely. That's what the Bible says. He's forgotten that he's been purged from his own sins, from his old sins. If you do not grow, the Bible says, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge godliness, and it goes all the way through charity. There's 8 different building blocks. And it says later on in that same 2 Peter chapter 1, that he that does not add to these things, he will be cast away. I can't remember exactly, but it says that he will forget that he was purged from his own sins.
Right.
He will forget that he's even saved. I have talked to people like that. Well, I got saved when I was little, but boy, I think I need to do it again. I don't even know if I really am.
Come on.
Don't tell me it doesn't happen. It happens. And it's all because of forsaking the God of your youth and forgetting that a covenant is a bond. It's an agreement. I'm hurrying here. But when you get saved, listen to me. When you get saved, you are no longer your own.
Amen.
Neither am I.
Right. Amen.
Neither am I. We are bought with a price.
Amen. That's right.
And we enter into a covenant with God as His children, yes, but also as His servants.
Amen.
Under righteousness. To glorify Him in our body and in our spirits, which are God's. That's a covenant we enter into with God when we get saved. But this strange woman has forgotten that she was even purged from her old sins. How far can a person get from God? There it is. Both of these men and women, both of them, have foolishly wandered afar on purpose. Not listen, forgetteth the covenant of her God is not an accident.
Right.
Okay? She did it on purpose. So did the other man. Quickly. She here her life is, verse 18, her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead. That whole verse is nothing but death. Her whole life is full of death and dying.
Amen.
I'm talking about physically as well as spiritually.
Yep.
Sin will destroy your body.
Yep.
Especially ladies. Especially ladies. God has made you to be a delicate keeper, helper, not to be a truck driver.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. It's old-fashioned, so what's Bible?
It's good. Amen.
Sin will destroy your body, ladies especially. It'll destroy mine too. But God's made me stronger than you. For a purpose. I'm supposed to be the one cutting the trees down. I'm supposed to be the one fixing the car. I know if you don't have anybody, call Samuel, he'll do it.
Amen.
All the leaves you want raked, there he is.
Amen.
Chris is looking at him like, well, you do your own house.
Amen.
You're a boy. Okay, I digress. This lady has nothing but death surrounding her. Everybody, everything, her whole life is nothing but death and dying. In other words, it's leading to death. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't get out to see a whole lot of different people, but I've just got faces flying through my mind as I talk about these people. Verse 19, none that go unto her return again. I read that to you, young men. This is a reference primarily to men going into a woman who's not your wife or certainly not supposed to be prepared for you in God's will, waiting for God to give you that wife. You go in unto her, and listen to me, your final destination is nothing but misery.
Amen. That's good.
Depression, defeat, discouragement, death. Well, I'm saved. I'm not going to go to hell. No. But anything that you ever thought about having a happy marriage is going to die.
Amen.
Everything. See, wisdom. When wisdom enters in, it gives us godly delights. We begin to delight in knowledge, God's knowledge, knowing more, hunger and thirsting for knowledge, greater discretion to preserve us, keep us from rotting. Guardian defender to keep us from these kind of people. Deliver us through wisdom from the evil man and from the strange woman. And it's also when wisdom enters in, look in verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men. God, listen, God doesn't just deliver you from the evil and the strange. He also wants to put you with the good.
Amen.
Okay? Maybe you've heard the saying, I can't remember how it goes now, When you remove everything out of your life that you used to have, you've got to replace it. Something abhors a vacuum. I can't remember how it goes. Oh, anyway, when you separate yourself from the evil man and the strange woman, you've got to separate yourself unto the children of God. That's what I'm trying to say.
Amen.
And see, that's what wisdom is all about. Amen. Is pulling me away from that which is going to destroy me, which is lying to me, cheating on me, stabbing me in the back, tricking me, can't keep his life, her mouth straight, clean, enjoys rotten, filthy entertainment. I'm separating from that, and God's delivering me to walk with good men.
Amen.
See, God's joining me unto the good men and keeping the path of righteousness, of the righteous.
Good.
You know, it's a lot easier. Listen, it's a lot easier to keep those paths when you're walking with other good men.
Amen.
It's common sense. It should be. So help from other men. Avoiding the, look what it says in verse 22. The wicked shall be cut off and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Not only do I get help and support in trying to keep, I could end up like that evil man too, who I used to walk in the past, but now I'm walking over here in the darkness. Ladies, you could be like that strange woman too, who you had a guide of your youth, you had a mama, you had a Sunday school teacher, you had somebody teaching you right, but you forsake that, you forsook that. You can end up like that if you don't let wisdom in.
Amen.
Wisdom is, I'm separating from that, and I'm separating unto the good, the godly. the church, God's people.
Amen.
God's people.
Amen.
That's wisdom.
Yes, sir.
To be faithful to church is wisdom.
Amen.
It's wisdom. So the question is then, all of these benefits are, to me, it sounds like wisdom's pretty helpful.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
It sounds like to me wisdom is really the principal thing.
That's right.
It sounds to me like I really need to get wisdom.
Amen.
There's a key element here in back in verse 10. Look at it with me again. When wisdom entereth into thine ears, into thine eyes, no, into thy mind, no, into thine heart. You see, that is the key.
Amen.
Can I tell you, that is also the biggest problem.
Yep.
I preach all the time to you. You know that. What's the difference between those that are still here and those that aren't? Now, if they didn't move out of town, what's the difference? What's the difference between those who get it and stick and those who don't? Wisdom, they heard it. They saw it lived out in other people's lives. They had the same opportunity, but they didn't get in their heart. Now, God's not going to tell us that without telling us how to let it in our hearts. Okay? Now, what's the difference? Number one, quickly, how do I make sure this wisdom that's going to do so many things for me in this life, how do I make sure it gets in my heart? Quickly, number one, verse 1 of the same chapter. My son, if. Look at that big word. If thou wilt receive my words. Number one, you're going to have to accept godly instruction. You're going to have to accept it. You're going to have to receive it. Look in Proverbs 6:23. The commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Not death, not darkness, not evil, not strange. The way of life are reproofs of instruction. Instruction. Look in chapter 10, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction.
Amen.
But he that refuses reproof, who does not receive it, who will not accept it, erreth. Or in other words, he forsakes the guide. He forsakes the path of light. He leaves the path of the just, because he won't accept godly instruction. Receive it. He won't let it in. Now, look in chapter 12, verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. Loveth instruction. You know what that means? It means I love it when people tell me what to do.
Amen. Amen.
Not the evil man, not the strange woman, but a godly counselor, a godly Sunday school teacher, a godly preacher, a godly mom, a godly dad, a godly husband, wives, tells me something that I know comes from the Bible. I love to hear that.
Amen.
I can't wait to hear it some more because I know it's going to make me wise.
Amen. Come on.
Do you think that evil man and that strange woman love to receive instruction?
No.
You think they accepted godly instruction? Well, according to the Bible, no, they did not.
Amen.
He that hateth reproof, nobody's going to tell me what to do, is brutish, foolish, knuckleheaded.
Amen.
Hard as this wood.
Yep.
Their head is like, it falls off. They're brutish. Look in chapter 13, verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him, that evil man, that refuseth instruction. But he that regardeth reproof shall be, what's that next word? honored. Yeah. Well, nobody's honoring me. God will honor you if you honor Him. That's Bible. Blessings from God come from those that receive instruction. Amen. That's a good, that helps me.
Yeah.
But if I refuse it, I'm erring. I've got nothing to look forward to but poverty and shame. Look in chapter 15, verse 32. I'm going to let the Bible preach for me tonight. Chapter 15, verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despises his own soul.
Yep.
You're not destroying anybody but you.
Amen.
But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. And remember, understanding is the guardian of my soul.
That's good. Amen.
Look in chapter 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction. Notice the next part of this verse, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. The latter end are the latter days of your life, your twilight years, when you're older. You know what? God expects us to be wiser when we're older.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I should be wiser than my son. Moms, and you should be wiser than your children. God expects us to be wiser in our latter days only if we receive instruction.
Amen. That's good.
The hoary head, which is the little white hairs that keep coming out of my head. The hoary head, the Bible says, is a crown of righteousness. It's a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. You can't go out here and look and say, everybody got white hair. Oh, they're righteous. They're wise. No. There's a big if. If that hoary head, if that snow, that hoarfrost, that snow on the chimney, if that man is in the way of righteousness, that's a crown of glory. And only if.
Amen.
And only if. So let me say it this way. God will make you wiser if you'll receive His instruction.
Yep.
In the latter days.
Amen.
You'll know more next year than you do now. You'll be safer. You'll be more rooted. You'll be more you'll be more delivered. You'll have more understanding, wisdom, knowledge, all of those wonderful blessings next year, more than you do this year, if you'll receive instruction, if you'll accept it.
Amen.
If you don't refuse it.
Amen.
You always know better.
Amen.
You always know a different way. You always think, well, I used to, well, you never let, well, okay, listen. Accept godly counsel.
Yep.
And you will get better. You will get wiser. You will get more understanding. You will be safer. All of those things we just talked about.
That's right.
Accept godly instruction. Let me make a statement to you. All these verses. Show me how you receive instruction, even sometimes reproof and rebuke. Somebody just calls you down and tells you like it is, like the preacher does sometimes. Show me how you receive that, and I'll tell you what kind of character you have.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
You don't have to show me anything else. Just show me how you receive instruction. Show me how you receive the preaching. When I preach hard, which I'm not really preaching hard, but when I preach, show me how you receive it, and I'll tell you which direction you're headed.
Amen.
Closer to God or away from God?
That's right.
This is Bible.
Amen.
And this is what God wants us to have, more wisdom and understanding. I've got to hurry. But how are we going to have it? How are we going to let it in our hearts? Because everybody gets it in their ears one way or another. All the time, every service you come to. You got to accept it as godly counsel. Receive it. Let it in. Don't refuse it. Don't reject it unless you want poverty and shame. Number two, go back to Proverbs 2. I'm hurrying up here, but the second, how am I going to let this wisdom into my heart? I got to accept godly instruction. And secondly, verse 1, hide, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide. Remember that if goes with all of these. And hide my commandments with thee. You need to attempt to memorize Scripture.
Amen.
Folks, listen. Many people struggle memorizing Bible verses. I know that. Or at least they say they do. Some can memorize more quickly than others. I know that. I understand that. But let me just get this straight with you. If you want to memorize Scripture, you can.
Yeah, ma'am.
I can do all things through Christ, including memorizing Bible verses, which strengtheneth me. Now, I don't expect everybody to say it on, it's not about the Wednesday night verse, but you ought to attempt to memorize that verse.
Yep.
You don't have to say it out loud. I know people are shy and everything else, but you ought to memorize, make attempt to regularly hide this book in your heart, because this is wisdom. If you're not even attempting, let me say it this way. If you really try to memorize Bible verses, you will.
That's right. Yeah, ma'am.
People always do what they want to do.
That's right, preacher.
I learned that a long time ago. And you probably already know that, don't you? No matter what they say, it's what they want to do is what they're going to do. Now, a person with wisdom is going to do what they say, whether how they feel. But that's another story. Number three, how am I going to get this wisdom in my heart? Well, I'm going to accept godly instruction. I'm going to attempt to memorize the Scripture. Listen, if you don't have it word for word, keep on trying.
Amen.
And number three, you're going to have to attend unto wisdom. Now look in verse 2. I'll explain it. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Attend unto wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. This means literally to prick your ears up when wisdom is being preached, wisdom is being taught. It means to be the most alert you could possibly be during the preaching time at church.
Yeah, man.
It means not to use it as a nap time.
Yeah.
It means attend unto wisdom. There's a Bible being opened. I think I better listen. Matter of fact, I'm going to hang on every word. That's what that means.
That's right.
Attend unto wisdom. Not, okay, well, he's preaching now. I think I'm going to relax.
Come on, preacher. Hear me.
Folks, I'm telling you, with all the love I know how, you're going in the wrong direction. If that's what preaching time is for, is a nap time.
Come on.
You need to listen to the Bible.
Amen.
Preaching is the wisdom. Singing songs is not, you can get some wisdom out of those songs, but this is the time where you need to prick up your ears, sit up in your chair, and peel your eyes open with a toothpick if you have to, and let God's wisdom speak to you.
Yeah, ma'am, preacher. That's right.
Or, well, you saw the alternative. You need to attend. It means to hearken.
Yep. Yeah, ma'am.
On purpose. It means to mark it down. You've heard me say, mark it down, neighbor. Well, it means to regard what's being said. It means to think about it. It means to meditate on it. Not just bleep, 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 bleep. It means to listen. Now, I know Wednesday nights are Wednesday nights and everybody's tired. I do understand that. Don't get me wrong. But whatever you, I mean, drink a cup of coffee before you come to church. Drink a Dr. Pepper. Drink a double cappuccino, latte, mocha, whatever that is. But this is the most important time of the day. You need to be awake for the wisdom of God.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Not looking at your watch.
Amen.
Not taking a nap. You don't miss one single opportunity to gain more wisdom.
Hear me.
One. And you don't want to miss one. If I'm sick, I'm sick. I understand that. But you know what I'm talking about. Church. Sunday school.
Yep. Hear me.
Wednesday night. Christmas banquet. There's always going to be devotions at least. More like, but it's really, it's, what's, anytime that book is open and somebody's reading and talking, it's wisdom.
Yeah, ma'am, preacher.
Watch night services.
Yep. Come on.
I got to go to bed. I understand. We'll just come up here and go to bed tomorrow, the next day.
Yeah, ma'am.
You can't tough it out a few hours for God to get some more wisdom so you can be safer in your life and help your children? Come on, folks. Come on. You're going to do what you want to do. You're going to do what you want to do. I'm telling you, this is what the Bible said. Incline thine ear. I'm perking up when somebody's starting to talk about the Bible. When the preacher begins to talk, I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm alert. I'm awake. I'm watching. I'm sober. I can't get enough of that book. Listen, that's what God's talking about.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Or, well, attend unto wisdom. Incline your ear. And then, as if I haven't stepped on somebody's toes already, next thing in that same verse, apply.
Amen.
You're going to have to apply what you already know before you ever grow in more wisdom. Are you listening to me, folks? Listen. I'm going to read to you. James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the word,
amen,
and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." It's one thing for an evil man to come along and try to deceive me. It's one thing for a strange woman to come along and try to deceive me. And they will, and they are going to continue to do so.
That's right.
But it's absolutely ridiculous for me to live my life deceiving myself.
Amen. Amen.
You're thinking that things are going to get better when you're not doing anything the Bible says to do that you already know, such as being faithful to every church service.
Amen.
Every one of you has heard that from this mouth many times. But there's always something else. You know you're supposed to read that Bible, not just read it, but meditate on it, study it. It needs to be the center of your home and your life. You know that.
Amen.
Are you applying that? You know that 10% of your income belongs to God at a minimum.
Amen.
Are you applying that?
Come on.
You know that we are all supposed to be witnesses, and that when the preacher calls an organized time of soul winning, that's wisdom, and you should be here. You know that, but are you applying that?
Amen.
Well, then that's why you're not gaining any wisdom.
Amen.
I'm not talking about sickness. I'm not talking about work schedules. But if you got a work schedule that interferes with God, start praying about it.
Amen.
God can change your work schedule.
Amen.
If you want him to.
Yep.
If you really want to.
Yep.
If you want to be here instead of being anywhere else, God can do that.
Yep. Amen.
I got to hurry up. But are you applying what you already know?
That's good.
Children, are you obeying your parents?
Mom.
Oh, wait, no, the children are looking at me now. Wait a minute, you're not supposed to preach to me. I'm just a kid. Parents, are we training up our children in the way that they should go?
Amen.
Is your children learning more, your child, are your children learning more in Sunday school than you know? That's not right.
Amen.
You're supposed to be the leader.
Amen. That's right.
I've got to hurry up, but this is a lot of stuff. But you see, this is why, well, anyway, this is why it doesn't get into the heart. Because these things have to happen first.
That's right.
You have to accept godly instruction as God's wisdom. You have to attempt to memorize it, hide it in your heart. You need to attend unto wisdom. And you need to apply what you already know. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established."
Amen.
That means I'm going to do what I already know. I'm going to commit my works, what I already know, and then God's going to give me more wiser thoughts,
amen,
more understanding thoughts.
Amen.
God's going to bring to my memory those scriptures I'm trying to memorize because I'm committing my works unto Him. You see, God, you don't have any excuse that God didn't think about.
Amen.
Neither do I. We don't. We can just we can try to avoid everything, but God's already got you somewhere. He's got us all.
That's right.
Wisdom. You need to apply what you already know. And then verse 3. This makes sense, but this is maybe, this will ease off the pressure a little bit. You need to ask for more.
Yep.
That's simple, right? Do you pray for God? In verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, are you asking God for more wisdom to enter into your heart? Or are you simply asking for God to make your life easier? God, get me out of this storm. Get me out of this problem. Get me out of this, that. What about God? Okay, let me see the wisdom in this.
That's good. Amen.
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 The storms don't take God by surprise.
Amen.
Pray with all your heart. But listen to me. Whether or not you have this wisdom in your heart is a game changer. Are you listening to me? It is a game changer. It is a difference maker.
That's right.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. He pours it out and he upbraideth not. What does that mean? That means he's not even going to fuss at you for asking over and over and over and over. He says, yes, you better ask me for some more because, son, you need it.
Amen.
Here's a whole lot. Here's another cup full. Here's another vase. Here's another barrel full.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
But, I mean, what do we pray for? What do we ask God for?
Come on.
Lord, I need some more money. I need you to fix this and fix that. God says, why don't you ask me for wisdom?
Amen.
That's the principal thing.
Amen. Amen.
Preachers over here, preacher boys. I get to preach to preacher boys now.
Amen.
You know what you need to pray for?
Yep.
Right. More than anything else, wisdom.
Amen.
Wisdom. Quit praying for everything you think you need. Well, I need that voice. I need that church. I need that pulpit. I need that chair. Pray for wisdom. Listen, and then you'll know what you really need.
That's right. Amen.
Isn't that good? That's how it works. I'm hurrying. This is the last thing, I promise. And lastly, verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand. Last thing. Not only do we need to accept godly instruction, attempt to memorize scripture, attend unto wisdom, apply what you already know, ask for more wisdom. Lastly, we need to avoid all distractions. This is likened in verse 4 to a treasure hunt. One thing we must remember on a treasure hunt, pay attention now, is that we don't find the same amount of treasure every day. There is not one word of God in this Bible that is not straight out of the mouth of God. Every scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every word of God is pure, it's very pure, it's very righteous, but it doesn't always get in our heart the first time, or even the second time, or even the third time. And if you're not careful, while you're seeking for treasures of God's wisdom, you're going to get sidetracked because it's not going to be everything that you thought it used to be or that you wanted it to be. And you'll get discouraged. And you'll get impatient. And you'll think, well, I've got to find me a church that's more exciting. We need to have louder music. We need to dance. Man, we need to get some drums up on that stage. You know why? Because you're getting very distracted from the principle. The principal thing is wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Not entertainment.
That's
the evil man is entertained by all that foolishness, remember?
Yep. Yeah, man. That's good.
Wisdom. Wisdom.
That's good.
Yeah. You need to avoid all distractions, including people that are trying to tell you, let's go here, let's do that, that's not important, that doesn't matter, you're going to get distracted. Maybe we didn't find as big of a gold nugget today that we did yesterday, and that can be a distraction. I'm speaking from experience. God says, look in verse 4, keep seeking.
Yep.
Keep searching for what? Wisdom.
That's right.
Not anything else, wisdom. If you find yourself in a so-called dry spell where you just can't seem to hear from God anymore, let me help you out. Go back to the first five steps. Boing, there it is. Are you receiving godly instruction? Are you attempting to memorize Scripture? Are you attending unto wisdom when it's time to get it? Are you applying what you already know? Are you asking God for more? And I guarantee you, somewhere in those five steps, you're going to find something that needs to be shored up. God didn't leave anything out.
Amen.
Go back to the other steps and then get anything contrary to those other five steps out of your life.
Yep.
Look in Proverbs 19, verse 27. Last verse. Proverbs 19, verse 27. It says, very plainly, cease. That means stop. My son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. If you're not getting what you used to get out of the Bible, go back to those first five steps and really, really be honest. Are you really doing all those? And then if you say, well, as to the best of my ability I am, then there's something that is giving you false instruction that's causing you to err.
Amen.
And the Bible says, cease and desist.
Yep.
Stop it. In other words, you're listening to the evil man.
Yep. Amen.
You're listening to the strange woman.
That's right. Amen.
Ladies, there's a lot of strange women trying to take you down too. Not you know, not intimately like that, but just get you out of the paths of the righteousness.
Come on.
Wisdom is the principal thing. When wisdom comes in, everything changes.
It's good. Amen.
But it's got to be in your heart.
Yep.
Heart. Father, I pray you bless your word tonight. Lord, thank you for the attention, the patience of your people. I know they're tired, Lord. I know it's Wednesday. I know they've had long days. But God, I pray that you would have spoken to all of us tonight like you did me. Lord, thank you for the Bible, how rich it is, how poignant, direct at each one of us it is, Father. Please, Lord God, help us to take notice of these things, to apply our hearts to these things. Oh, Father, we need you tonight. We need more wisdom. We certainly need more wisdom. We need to think like you think. We need to respond like you respond. Oh God, bless this invitation, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet.